So we're going to look today at our Palm Sunday message. And what I'm going to look at today, I want you to think about Palm Sunday or Psalm Sunday. And we're going to try to tie those things together. Now, a little bit of background before I jump into my scripture is that Jesus had told his disciples to go get a donkey that nobody had ever ridden on before. You know, he came into town riding that donkey on a new donkey smell. You know what I mean? It was a new donkey. Anyway, never mind. He was fulfilling the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9. Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies this last week of his earthly ministry. It was very powerful. And the people there got really excited. You know, we need to get really excited. But they got really excited because they felt that Jesus was coming to be their political deliverer. And sometimes we feel like that too. But what had happened, Jesus came to be their spiritual deliverer, and they was kind of confused about that. They wanted delivered from Rome, and God wanted them delivered from sin. So have you ever gotten your wires crossed from God? I know I have, and I know they did. But today we're going to uncross those wires, and we're going to look and see who Jesus Christ really is. Passage I want to look at today is found in Luke chapter 19, and it's in verse 37 to 44. It's a little bit long, so bear with me. It says, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. They were shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will even cry out. When he approached Jerusalem, they saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known this day, even you, the things which were make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will leave you, they will leave not one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. So there's a passage talking about the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here today. I thank you for the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, I thank you for just touching us each in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little bit of background about Jesus' ministry. He went around doing a lot of many miracles. But when he did them, he told people, be quiet. Don't tell anybody because my time's not right. Well, today was the day of the big reveal. And that's what we're going to start off with today is the big reveal. Because Jesus kept his ministry on the down low for over 3.5 years, because he didn't want the people to take him and to try to make him the political leader, you know, of their country. Part of it might be because he needed to spend some time with his disciples to get them ready, because when he left, they were the ones going to be taken over. And if you've ever read about a little about their personalities, that took a lot of faith. You know, God has a lot of faith in us. God has a lot of faith in you. And I want you to be able to receive that in Jesus' name, because timing is everything and the Father knows best, and that's meeting the Heavenly Father. God knows the plan. He knew the plan for Jesus, and God knows the plan for you and I. In modern times, instead of we call it the big reveal, you know, they have the reveal parties for babies, but, you know, Jesus also came out. He revealed who he really was. There's a lot of people coming out these days. See, the veil had been lifted, and it was time to praise the Lord. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praising God and being able to give him the glory that he finally needs and really wants to have in our life. He wanted the world to finally see who he really was and what he can do in their lives. Now, when God revealed it, it wasn't a boy or a girl, even though we know Jesus was a boy. God revealed a Savior. And I don't know about you, but is Jesus Christ your Savior today? And that's a valid question, because it's not automatic. See, the Messiah, what that means is deliverer. It's talking about the idea of being the Messiah or the anointed one. Jesus was the anointed one that came to deliver mankind from all their sins. Now, verse 37, it says, they praised him for what he did instead of who he was. And that's the mistake that many of us make. See, many in the crowd that were so excited, yelling and screaming, just like they were at an Albia Blue Demon football game, just going crazy, in 1 week, they turned their back on him. And many of them yelled, crucify him. What caused that big change? What made them turn their life around so bad that they turned their back on the Savior? See, we fail as a Christian if we only serve God for what he does instead of for who he is to us. We make that mistake. And if we do that, we run the problem of what I like to call circumstantial Christianity. See, there's a lot of people that are circumstantial Christians, meaning if the circumstances are just right, they'll follow God. But when things don't go their way or when things start to unravel in their life, they turn their back on God. They start to blame God. And that's not what we're supposed to do. See, God is worthy of our praise, even if he never does anything for us in our life, because of who he is. And once we get past that, then we're going to start in a different level of victory of what God's called us to do. Because it's sad when we won't praise God for who he is, but only for what he's done for us. And I know God does a lot of great things. See, maybe you're here today, and you've been maybe keeping your faith on the down low. You know, you don't want others to know that you're a real Christian. You know, maybe you're afraid what other people will think. And that is a common problem with some, because they're running with a certain crowd, and if they become a Christian, they think, you know, what will all my friends think of me? Well, the Pharisees was jealous of Jesus, and they hated him. So you have to come to terms in your life. Not everybody's going to celebrate you. I don't know if you've learned that yet, but that's a lesson we need to learn. Not everybody in this life is going to love us for who we are or what we do. All we care about is what God says about us and what God thinks about us. So once we get past that, I think we can start to walk in a little level of freedom that we never had before. Another thing that I've ran into as a minister is that some people are afraid because they're concerned about what they think God will have them do. And most people think for them, the worst case scenario is that God's going to make me be a missionary and I have to go live in a grass hut somewhere. Yes, there is people that think that. God will not make you do anything that you're not willing to do. There is a perfect will of God, and we should walk in that. But believe me, not everybody is going to be called to be a missionary. Those are a select few, and in my opinion, a lot of the missionaries are cream of the crop. They're the ones who go out and lay it on the line and really live in great faith. See, I remember in my life when I came out as a Christian, I dabbled in Christianity a little bit. I tried it out. I went to church a little bit, and I started to get hungrier. And no matter how late I was out on Saturday night, I made it to church on Sunday because I knew that something was there, but yet I wasn't really ready to commit. See, growing up as a kid, I prayed to Jesus every night. Maybe you did too. And maybe you still do that. But for me, I didn't really know Jesus very good. I knew about him, but I did not know him personally. And once I came to Christ, I understood really what the difference was. Now, when I came to Christ, a lot of my friends and some of them thought I went off the deep end. I says, no. I just went out in the deep water. See, I love to get in over my head. And so I jumped in, and to be honest, I've never hit bottom yet because God is deep and I'm learning more and more every day. The next thing I want us to think about is what I mentioned earlier in my message. Is it Palm Sunday or Psalm Sunday? And the reason why I say that is that this was what we call the triumphal entry. When Jesus Christ came in riding on a donkey, I know a donkey don't sound that glamorous, but it did fulfill prophecy. You know, a lot of us would rather ride in on some fancy horse or something like that. But Jesus fulfilled prophecy. And when they were doing this, the town just went crazy. They were taking their coats off and laying them on the ground, and they were putting palm trees in front of him. It was a symbol of a great victor coming in to show the city that he was the conqueror. And that was the picture that they had in their mind, and that's what they wanted to do. I don't know if you see Jesus like that in your life. I do. Jesus is my victor. So it was a major parade. There was a bunch of excitement. You know, Jesus' followers were probably carrying on just like the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. For you 49er fans, is that too soon? I don't know. I hope not. But, you know, people got excited. They get excited about football. They get excited about baseball, all these things that really, for the most part, when it comes to eternity, doesn't really matter. But what matters is, how are we going to celebrate Jesus in our life? God wants us to celebrate him. I believe we all need to get more excited about Jesus. Now, technically, I'm kind of laid back in life. I don't get really high and I don't get really low. I just kind of cruise along. But, you know, I have learned that I need to get more excited about Jesus. Now, what I've noticed is it's a bummer when sinners go out and do the work of saints and saints do the work of sinners. When sinners kind of get more excited about Jesus doing some things than saints do. Saints are afraid. Now, I remember when I first started out in Christianity, I went to a church and it was wild, just wild. But something drew me there, and it was the Holy Spirit. I would see people raising their hands. I would see people dancing. Yes, they were a holy roller church. That was a lot of fun for me. I just kind of stood there and looked around and didn't raise my hands because, I don't know about you, the first time you ever raise your hands in church, you just kind of wonder if everybody's looking at you. So I kind of raised mine at half-mast, you know, just kind of make sure, you know, kind of, you know, tested everything out. And then before you know it, I was just raising my hands and just loving Jesus just like everybody else. But see, what happens in the world, now I'm not saying you have to raise your hands and go all crazy, although it would benefit you. If you don't like to do it in front of people, I would go in my room, lock the door, get on some good praise and worship music, and just go for it and have a little bit of fun. You know, telling myself, my wife and I were in Greece and we lived there. I've been there several times on mission trips, but we went there and lived for 6 months. And the missionary had left to go out of country because he had to get his passport stamped. So we was in the house there because he wanted us to house sit for him, and it was better than our apartment with all the cockroaches and stuff. So we moved over to his place for a few weeks. And then while we was there, I just put on some praise music and I was dancing around the living room. And if you've seen me clap, you know the dancing ain't much better. And what happened then, all of a sudden, here's this Greek guy peeking in the window at me. See, it was his house. He was renting it out. But yet they felt like he had the right to come in there and look. And I'll tell you what, I don't know who was more startled, him or I. You know, but see, I was learning how to get free, and I encourage you to get free in God. So even if we don't praise him, I believe somebody will. God's going to raise somebody up. As a matter of fact, he said the stones are even going to cry out. See, the Pharisees got all jealous about Jesus because he was, you know, taking all the limelight from them. They wanted to be seen by everybody just to see, you know, so they could see how spiritual they were. But here comes Jesus, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, and he took away their thunder a little bit. The reason why it's so important to praise God is that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we all need more of God's presence in our nation today. We are a nation that for many ways has turned their back on God. We've tried to kick God out of so many things. But right now, at this crisis time, I believe a lot of people are turning that around. See, Jesus said if the people don't praise him, them stones would cry out. See, all of creation cries out for the coming Lord again. That's how God created it. When Adam and Eve fell and man fell away from God, see, all creation wants the Messiah to come back and to rule and reign. And that's what we're all looking for, to put things back in spiritual order. Now, that word psalm I was mentioning earlier, what that is talking about is it equals a song. The book of Psalms is really a book of psalms and a book of songs that they sang to the Lord in hard times and in good times. And that's what we need to learn, because it's very important. Now, when I look at it, I'm going to explain a little bit. It's called praise and worship. Many of you probably heard that before. See, praise is a time where you clap your hands and you get all excited. And really, that's what was happening on Palm Sunday here. His disciples were very excited. Here they've been following for a while, and all of a sudden Jesus was coming. I am going to be the man. I'm the man. I've come here to change things. I'm the one who's going to turn things around. So they were excited. Well, then as far as the clapping goes, that's all good. But then there's another part called the worship. And worship is kind when you just kind of get a little more quiet. And to me, it's a time of intimacy, and it's getting close to God. And that's something that I probably enjoy to do a little bit more. So how do you praise God if you don't feel like praising? Because a lot of people say that. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising God. I don't feel like worshiping God. Well, the Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we put on, that means you're going to have to step out and step up to be able to start to praise God, even if you don't feel like it. And what happens when you do that, God will inhabit your praise, and then your situation is going to turn around. If you don't have it on, I like to say, get it on. Get it on with God and start to praise him. Now, many people in the church know that I'm more of a worshiper because I'm rhythmically challenged. I don't clap. If I had to save my life by clapping, I couldn't do it. But I will say this. I can sway back and forth with the best of them. Raise my hands, and this is my groove. Everybody's got their groove. I just like to, even in praise songs, I'll just do this. And because I just love feeling the presence of God in my life. But to do that, I have to reach out to him. He's already reaching out to me, and he's already reaching out to you. So all you need to do is reach back to him and tell him to come into your life, to flood your life with his presence, and to bring him in and to rejoice over everything that he has done and yet to do, but most of all, for who he is. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. One of my favorite passages in Philippians, it says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To me, Jesus is more than my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. He's in control. And I encourage you to make him the Lord of your life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message to do so. The last point I want to look at today is the fact that how Jesus wept for his nation. That is something, if you really look at this, it's just amazing because it shows the love and compassion of God. I don't know how you feel when people rebel against you and speak evil against you, but it kind of irritates me. But Jesus wept. He wept for his people. That's how much he loves. See, the scripture says there at the end in verse 44, it talks about because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You know, the Bible says today is the day for salvation. But more than that, I believe that there's different segments of our life that we go through where God shows up and he tries to really reveal himself to us. I remember times in my life before I surrendered to the Lord that God would bring somebody across my path, or there'd be some situation or circumstance that made me reach out to God. But I would always pull my hands back. I would not follow through. And then I ended up missing out. See, Jesus told them that Rome was going to destroy their city. Matter of fact, all the stones of the wall that was going to be torn down. Matter of fact, the temple was torn down. It was just a terrible thing that was going to happen because they were looking for a political leader that Jesus wasn't, instead of a spiritual leader, which God is. And so they missed the time of your visitation. See, when we refuse to go through the door that God has opened for us, it can open the door for the devil to come into your life. I know there was times in my life that when God was reaching out to me, that I didn't go through that door. And then what ended up happening is that some bad things came into my life because of my rejection of God. See, Israel had been going through a dry time spiritually. Now, maybe you're going through that too. See, what happens, what I found is when people go through a dry time spiritually, religion kicks in. Religion, you know, tries to come in and take control of the situation. And my definition of religion, religion is man-made power trying to control the things of God. And maybe you've been involved in religion. Maybe it gave you a bad taste. You know, a lot of people have tried church, but really what they've tried is religion. Because a true church isn't religious. Now, I'm not saying every church is perfect, and I know it isn't. There's so many people that say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That may be true. But all Christians, true Christians, go to church because that's just what God has set up it to work. You know, we need accountability in our life. We need all these things in our life. So push religion out and draw in to the things of God. See, that word wept, when it says that in the scripture, if you look that up, it's not just putting a few tears down your eyes. I mean, have you ever, you know, sometimes when God touches me, especially during praise and worship, or maybe I'm thinking about him in a certain way, all of a sudden a little tear will run down my face. You know, I've learned not to be macho about it, but just let the tears flow. You know, a lot of men try to hide it and, you know, don't want nobody to see that you're vulnerable. But I'll tell you what, the best place we can be is to be vulnerable with God. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us. We need to open up to him and let him flood in. But what this word here is not talking about a little tear coming down your cheek. This word in the Greek is talking about to weep or to wail or to be in agony. See, Jesus had ministered for 3.5 years. He had raised dead people. He had healed the sick. He had cast out devils. He had done everything that he could to try to get people to turn their hearts back to God. But yet these people wouldn't come back to God. They had turned their back. They wanted it their way. But he cared so much about his countrymen that when he looked out across Jerusalem, he started to be in agony, weeping and wailing. See, not only did Jesus care for the nation of Israel, but the Bible says that he loved the whole world. He loves you. He loves me. And we need to remember that. Jesus wept and wailed for our salvation. He wants us to get our lives right with God, to get back to where we need to be. He wants us to be the people that praise him openly and to be able to love him in front of a lost and dying world. See, I've wept and wailed on a couple occasions. Not a lot, I'll be honest. You know, but do we weep and wail for our friends and our loved ones or our fellow countrymen or the world? The times that I have done it was that, you know, somebody close to me that I knew was getting close to death. They were about ready to leave this world and go into the next. And by all outward appearances, they were not a Christian. If they were, they were hiding it very well. Do you know somebody like that? Or maybe you are somebody like that. We don't need to hide it. But what happened is just a few days before their death, or maybe even the night before once, it bothered me so much that I spent the whole night crying out to God, weeping and wailing, just crying out for their soul. Because I didn't want them to go to hell. I didn't want them to die and be separated from God for all eternity. And I prayed and I prayed and I cried out to God until finally I got a breakthrough. Now, I believe they made it. I won't know until I get to heaven. But I do know today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of visitation. And we need to be ready for it. You know, in Luke, it didn't mention the word Hosanna here, but in the other passages of the triumphal entry, they use the word Hosanna. And some of you maybe heard that song, you Hosanna. I'll spare you because I have people that sing that can handle this for me. I delegate that part out. I always sing, you know, I make a joyful noise. But that word Hosanna means save us. Save us. That's what we need to be crying out to God. God, save us. And maybe you're there today. Maybe you'd like to cry out Hosanna today. And I want to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray with me. If you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, now maybe you know him as Savior. You know, very few people, I mean, I have ran into a few, even in this small town, which you think everybody would know, that should know that Jesus Christ, you know, who he was and what he has done for us going to the cross. I have ran into a couple that's never even had that introduced to him, which amazed me. But maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you know that he died on the cross. Maybe you know that the Bible says that he rose again. But you don't know if he saved you. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I encourage you to pray with me if you'd like to surrender your life to God. I was able to lead somebody to the Lord just a little over a week ago. They called me, and they wanted to give their life to God. I mean, that's awesome. You know, you don't even have to go out and find them. They come find you. So if you got something, they're going to come find you. So please pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross and saving me from your sins, from my sins. Lord, I thank you for your blood, that red blood that paid a ransom and washes me white as snow. I surrender my life to you. Now you give your life to me. Thank you for saving me. And I confess you as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says if you pray that, you will not be disappointed. If you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and be your Lord. And if you need help with this or to understand it better, message us here at the church or personally message me. I'd be glad to help you. And we have some information we could easily pass out to you.